if we go back to the historical context, starting the TIP in 2016, by the time we put a contract in place, which, by the way, Dana, it is a GMP contract, those prices can only be held so long. So when time elapses, and in this environment, costs have just skyrocketed. If you look, and we gave the aldermen some articles that talk about what other projects are seeing. It's about a 7% increase in costs are going up. Also, the project is bigger, right? So $100 million versus $160 million means, you know, there's more infrastructure that's required. And then, I would also say that, the plans have been further developed, both by the city and, you know, by the DNR. And I'd say that this has been a very belt and suspender approach to everything we're doing, because for all the right reasons, because we're on a landfill. So that would be how I would explain the $5 million. The other thing I would say is, in the end, this is a bit of a math issue, right? The math has to work, and we understand that. We understand that clearly. We understand that you guys have hired Ehlers. We've gone back and forth many times, and realized that, you know, if we can't get the numbers to work, it's not going to happen. So we feel pretty good about where we're at right now. We're still tweaking it, but one of the questions was, where are we at? And I think I'll defer to the city, but I think we're getting really, really close on that. The last point I'll make on the developer agreement, and this notion of Mike Zimmerman trying to shirk accountability, that is not the intent. Right now, the developer agreement calls for me to backstop any shortfalls. If we grow the project and the city decides to go after the $160 million and continue to invest in that, I would fully expect that shortfall would continue. So I think that's another really important point. I think the spirit of the developer agreement and be backstopping all the accountability that some of the people here want is going to continue. I don't see that changing. So with that kind of as maybe framework of the deal, historical context, what we'll do now is we'll update everybody on the master plan and talk about, you know, the $160 to $180 million. And what I'd like to do is go to the south side first. So when we say south side, we're talking, there's a map up here, we're talking south and north of Rawson. So south of Rawson is we're referring to it as the residential district. So what's in ground right now, this is about a $30 million assessed tax value to the city, is the New Perspective Senior Living Unit. So that's in ground. They started it in December, and they're anticipating about a 12 to 13 month build schedule. So then I'm going to have Ian maybe talk a bit about who Mandel Group is and what we're doing with Velo.
My name is Ian Martin, Vice President of Development for Mandel Group. Our address is 330 East Kilbourne Avenue, Suite 600, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about the project and our involvement in it. This is, I guess, our first public meeting to discuss it. As Mike mentioned, we've been working on it, frankly trying to play catch-up. This project obviously has a long history, and so we're doing our best to get caught up quickly. I won't respond to any of those sort of historic questions since I wasn't a part of them. I'll talk about what we have in mind today, and Emily and I'd be happy to answer any questions. So
you're a very soft-spoken guy. Can you pull it closer?
Sorry. So real quick, Mandel Group, we are a local developer. We specialize in high-end market-rate multifamily housing. I think we have a good reputation, perhaps maybe one of the best reputations in town for delivering the highest quality projects. We're not the biggest developer in town, and that's by design. We pursue projects only where we think there's an opportunity, both from a bricks and mortar standpoint, but also from creating a good experience for our residents. Those are the projects we pursue. So we have been in and out of this project, as far back as 3 years ago. I personally had a piece of this property under contract at a prior place I worked almost 7 years ago. So this site for me has a little bit of both professional and personal interest for me. I think Franklin has a lot of great things going for it, independent of Ballpark Commons. I think what Ballpark Commons does in our mind is create a unique environment unlike anything else in the Milwaukee area, and that's why we'd like to be a part of it. We are a integrated development firm, so we have all our own in-house development staff, but we also have our in-house property management group, that's important. We have a little bit of we call it a legacy development attitude about all our projects. And all I mean by that is when we build something, we tend to own it for a very long time. And what that means is we can't afford to have deferred maintenance build up. We can't afford to have, cracked parking lots, failing HVAC. And the only way we figured out to really manage that is to have our own employees on site, both from a leasing standpoint, but a property maintenance standpoint too. So just like all of our other projects, our plan would be to staff this with our own in-house management group. We win awards every year from the local apartment association for having the best management group. So it's something we're proud of. In terms of this project specifics, and maybe just a quick update from perhaps what was you guys have last seen. So it's 265 units in five buildings, 53 units in each building. That's one more building than I think the last plan you saw. That's a reflection of a couple of factors. The main one being our belief in the depth of the market, the need in this area for luxury housing. The second piece of it is, given the demands there, it does increase the tax base pretty considerably, $10 to $12 million of added tax value for that building. So when you look at the site plan here, you'll see the apartment buildings are labeled B1 through B5. They're kind of the orangish buildings. You got it there. So the fifth building we added is... fifth building we added is a mirror of the other four buildings that were already approved. When we got involved, we tweaked some of the interior floor plans, added some cabinetry. Again, sort of with this legacy development standpoint, we felt like we needed units that would, from a planning standpoint, last a long time. And so we've gone through, we've updated all of those.
Can you point out on that screen, and everybody look at that screen, the additional building?
Emily's pointing it out right there. It's the easternmost building on the site. You can see they're all similarly shaped. There's two exterior concepts to add a little variety to the project. So three stories with underground parking for each of the buildings. There's a clubhouse that's been programmed, which is in red, sort of the southwest part of the site. That clubhouse is about 3,500 to 4,200 square feet in size. That's where we'll house our leasing and management staff. That's where sort of a lot of the amenities for the project will be. So we'll have a club room for resident use, with the kitchen, TVs for Packer parties, that type of stuff. We'll have a fitness facility and a swimming pool with a, these swimming pools don't get used near as much as the decks that are around the swimming pool. So we spend as much time worried about, how big is the deck that surrounds the pool, because that's where people tend to hang out. So we look at both of those. The unique feature to this clubhouse, and this is the part of that experience that we're trying to create for our residents, is what we call a bike shop. So obviously the proximity of the Oak Leaf Trail, the proximity to Wheel and Sprocket, and when we survey the vast majority of our residents across our project or our portfolio, and we own and operate about 6,000 units, It's clear that the recreation of choice for our residents is becoming biking. And so even on projects that might be 10, 15 years old, we're fielding a lot of requests to upgrade the sort of stationary bikes we have into these. There's different manufacturers, but these Peloton concepts where you can feel like you're, you know, riding a stage of Tour de France and stuff like that. It's a live experience. So that part, that's part of what feeds into the Velo Village naming and branding of this. And so that bike shop will host some cross-programming events with Wheel and Sprocket. It'll be a place where our tenants can go and fix their bikes, meet up before bike rides, and all of that. So that's the general overview of the project. In terms of the landscaping on the western buffer, we have met with, had an initial meeting with some of the Stonehenge residents. None of that is changing. So we haven't modified any of that.
Last week we met with
them. Yeah, we met with them last week. And we'll have further meetings with them if they want. So in terms of the overall status of the project, so we have updated all the plans. We have made an application to the city for a PDD amendment that reflects the updated plan that you see here in front of you. There was a question about availability of those plans from some people. I'm happy to, if anybody wants to get in contact with me, I'll email my plans directly. I'm happy to make it as easy as I can for them. They're also available here at the city. So in terms of the process, we obviously have to go through the process. The staff's reviewing it. We'll get staff comments, and we'll respond to them. The other piece of it that I think of course, is sort of the design construction part of it. So we've got 100% updated construction documents. We'll be reviewing those with our general contractor, Catalyst, and we'll have a GMP on this. So the good news is, it's usually a 60-day process. Catalyst has a lot of history on this deal. They already bid out the 212 units, so this is more of an update. So I expect that part of the project to be done in the next 30 to 60 days. The other piece of it that we spend a lot of time thinking about is the capitalization of the project. So this is a $57 million project, so it's not an insignificant one. So when we look at how we capitalize these projects, there's three elements to it. There's a debt piece that will come from a bank, any just typical bank loan. Then there's cash equity, so that's just money we raise from investors and we raise internally that we invest in the project. And then there's I call it the public-private partnership or the TIF piece of it. So I'll just run through those real quick. So on the debt piece, we're projecting about a $41 million loan. I have term sheets from two local banks to provide that debt for the project. We're picking between them. We will likely get a third term sheet on it. So we have a good relationship with all the active local lenders. And so, we're sort of lucky in that we'll have a pick of who we want to use here. So I feel confident about that. The total equity raise for this project is going to be somewhere between $10 and $15 million. That's pretty common for us. We've raised as much as $35 to $40 million on an individual raise. For a smaller project, it's obviously a lot less than that. Our investors are repeat investors with us because of our performance and historic performance with them. And they buy into our legacy development strategy. So I feel confident that won't be an impediment to us executing on this transaction. The last piece of this is the TIF or public-private partnership piece of that. And I won't dive in. You guys already talked about a lot of it. The bottom line is we've been working hard with the staff and the consultants trying to understand what's the history of the TIF. As Mike said, it was a little slow getting out of the gates. The good news is I feel like we're getting very close to a solution. I would tell you that while we don't have all the details worked out, I think there's some fundamentals that sort of guided our conversations from day one. And the first fundamental was, look, the underwriting has to work. So no matter what our proposal is, if the city staff, the city's consultants who are the best in the business think the numbers don't work, we don't have a deal. And so we entered it and entered into that discussion in good faith, not knowing how it would end. Like I said, I'm really pleased that we've made a lot of progress today. I think the other fundamental that that we accepted from day one is it has to work for everybody. So it has to work for me. I'm not going to make a bad deal. And it has to work for the city because the city's not going to make a bad deal. I have my own consultants and my own financial analysts, me being the main one, but the city has the best in the business. I've worked with others before on numerous transactions, and they don't leave any stone left unturned. So, and the staff has been diligent as well. So I think, you know, both of those fundamentals either work or they don't in this case. And you know, we're prepared to accept it whichever way it goes. In terms of I do want to comment real quick on the structure because I think that's important. And, Mayor, you talked about it a little bit. As it relates to the apartments, all the proposal discussions we've had to date are a pay-as-you-go, developer financed, MRO, all doing the same thing. And the bottom line there is we take all the financial risk for the TIF. If we don't build it, we don't get anything from the city. The city doesn't go out and issue any debt that they're at risk on. That's on us to do it. And I've accepted that. That's the deal structure I've made. So when I hear from certain folks that there's a subsidy going into the apartment deal, it, you know, to me the word subsidy is obviously meant to be a derogatory term about this public-private partnership, and it's meant to imply some sort of unjust enrichment on a developer or a sponsor of a real estate development transaction. And I think that's technically inaccurate. It's just not a subsidy. We create tax value where it doesn't otherwise exist, and only if we do that do we get any benefit at all. So that, in my mind, doesn't constitute a subsidy. Maybe that's semantics, but it's an important one, I think. And then the last comment I'll make, because it's sort of, I feel like, an overriding theme that that's come out of some of the public comments here tonight, is a question of transparency. And I'll tell you, it's something I take very serious. Mandel Group takes very serious. It is our reputation. When I hear transparency, it's code word for reputation. And so that means a lot to me. So I would encourage any citizen, any elected official, to back check all of any and all references. Call any number of cities that we've done business with. Ask any consultant that we've done business with, including Ehlers. And I think I'm confident they'll all tell you that we've handled each one of those transactions with nothing but transparency. In this case in particular, Alderman Nelson was kind enough to invite us to a town hall meeting he had on March 6th. At that meeting, several members who are here tonight were also at that meeting. I handed out my business card to all the people that were in that meeting, and I offered at the time, please call me directly. There's no need to wait for some formal setup to have a discussion, and I'd be happy to talk with any one person. As of right now, I have not gotten a phone call from anybody. So my offer still stands, and I'm happy to meet with anybody that feels like there's a lack of transparency. I'll give out my business cards again tonight to anybody that wants to talk to me. My cell phone's on it. My direct dial's on it. I'll field any and all phone calls. So as it relates to the transparency on this issue, you know, my promise is I will continue to be transparent. I've shared all my underwriting with the city staff. I've shared it all with Ehlers. And so if there are further questions about the level of transparency we brought to bear on this transaction, I'm happy to field them. But I say all this just because, again, I take it very serious, and it's a promise I think I've honored. If people feel like that's inaccurate, I want to respond to it.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
Did you want to hit R1 and M1?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, when we got into the site plan, we added the fifth building. It did give us an opportunity to create two new buildings on the site. So the R1 building is, that Emily's circling there, it's an 11,000 square foot commercial building. The building to the east of it is a mixed-use building with 22,000 square feet on ground floor, which is commercial, about 65 units, residential units on top of it, underground parking. So the prior plan had a single building on it that was 30,000, it was 30,000 square feet with about 65 residential units on it. So when we reworked this plan, we were able to get about another 3,000 square feet of additional retail into the project, which is, I think, again, there's demand for that. Once this gets built, this is a good intersection. There will be tenants interested. I think there'll be high-quality tenants for that additional 3,000 square feet. And two, it obviously helps expand the existing tax base within the project. So I'll let Mike pick up the north side of the street.
The 65 units in the mixed use, are those included in your 265?
No, those are in addition to it.
In addition.
Yeah, so maybe I should address the phasing of the construction of the apartment piece here quickly. So you know, time is of the essence for a lot of reasons. One is the underlying TIF and accruing interest on the TIF that's been discussed. The other part of it, quite frankly, is the weather piece. You know, in about another month, we're going to hit the prime construction season, and from the apartment development standpoint, you know, I would like to get in the ground as quickly as possible. So what I've said to everybody from day one on this is, as far as I'm concerned, we're committed. We've spent a significant amount of money, six figures plus, getting to this point. We're going to spend a lot more, and I'm comfortable doing that because, again, I believe this is a race. We're excited to get going. We think it's going to be a great project, and the sooner we get in the ground, the better off it'll be from a weather standpoint.
Oh, Mayor. So, Mr.
mentioned, like, on my request, you did meet an initial meeting with the neighbors surrounding the area in preparation for a larger neighborhood meeting, too, and that went very well. I think that was a very good thing. Thank you for cooperating with that.
Yeah, and I would thank those neighbors as well. I mean, they asked some good questions. They caught me up on some good information. We've already had a good exchange of updated plans with the working group for the neighbors, and I expect that dialogue to continue.
Alderman Wong.
You mentioned the PDD amendment request. When do you expect to be able to have more details about this?
So our application's been submitted to the city. So our request is in. The staff is reviewing it now. I know the staff has a lot on their plate for the review, so I don't want to obligate them to a timeline. I'd let them do that. You know, my hope would be, you know, in the next 30 days, you know, we're back in front of you guys with the details of what that plan looks like.
Alderman Nelson.
On March 6th, I had my town hall meeting here, and about 2.5 hours, your group, Mr. Zimmerman, was about an hour plus of direct conversation with citizens that were here. Some are here tonight, so it was very informative, and I just want to thank you guys for coming here and inviting people.
Okay, so we'll now we'll continue to the north side, and I'll try to do it a little faster than Ian did. So I'll start with the stadium. Stadium is a $20 million build-out. You can finally start to see the structure. If you really want to get a good vantage point of it, you got to go up by the lodge, and you can see that the bowl's in. Playing there, obviously, is the Milwaukee Milkmen, a professional, independent team. Also, UW-Milwaukee. And then, you know, we will program a number of other events. It'll also act as a backstop for tournaments and that kind of stuff. So we're really excited about that opening up over here over the next couple months. Who's got the commute? So now we're going to go across the street to that building that everybody's being built, called the C1 building, the red one. So in there, it's a office retail building. The tax value on this, actually, let me back up and just talk about the stadium. So somebody commented about property exemption on the stadium. So I just wanted to clarify that that's sales tax exemption, and that's not, you know, that is a, when Miller Park was built, that law was created, but it's for sales tax. The we are paying property tax, and that is part of the TID. So back to the C1 building. So this is two stories of office space and the first floor retail. It is the office space is all but sold out. The retail space is all sold out as well. We all know that Wheel and Sprocket's coming. There were some rumors that they weren't coming. That those were just weird rumors. So if you've heard that, please disregard it. Next to Wheel and Sprocket, we haven't announced the name yet, but it'll be a coffee shop. That'll be coming online. And then next to the coffee shop will be a physical therapy retail site. Physical therapy, kind of sports medicine. So then if we head